It was 4th and 1 with 5 seconds remaining in the game. With the championship on the line and down by 6, it all came down to this play. As the quarterback dropped back, he looked left, he looked right, but his go-to guy was nowhere to be found.
Hey, you're doing great. You got this. Don't give up, man. Hey, can I get a hot dog over here?
You don't win games by being a spectator. And the same goes when it comes to the body of believers.
Fellowship is not watching the game with family and friends. It's not sitting in the stands, but it's being on the field as a team. It's running the plays together. It's working hard for the one common goal of being victorious. It's shedding blood, it's shedding sweat, and it's shedding tears together until the buzzer goes off and you go across the line victorious. That's fellowship.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. When we come together as one body of believers, we can experience the communion God desires for us to have with Him, as well as one another. This week, Charles Tapp digs into why we need each other when we worship, with his message, bodybuilding.
When I was in high school, I took a class that I'm sure most of us have taken called freshman composition. We just refer to it as freshman comp for short. One of the things I learned in that class was that when you wanted to describe something, you didn't just have to compare it with something else. But even a better way to describe something is not by telling what it is like, but by sharing what it is not like, by using contrast. And in many cases, explaining something by using contrast can even be more powerful because it leaves a lot to someone's imagination. And Jesus was a master at this. And he did a masterful job in his parable in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. It's called the parable of the importunate widow or the persistent widow. And here Jesus gives us an idea of what God is like by telling us what he's not like through the character of the unjust judge. A judge who had no regard for justice, a judge who had no regard for righteousness, and then juxtapose that with our Heavenly Father who seeks justice not just for some, but our Heavenly Father who seeks justice and who seeks righteousness, what ought to be for everybody. And I say all this today to make this point. In our message that I've titled Bodybuilding, I want to just tell you up front that it is a message about worship. But it is not a message about what songs you may think are appropriate or not appropriate for worship. This message today is not about the latest ecclesiastical fad that may be running rampant through many of our churches throughout the world, and especially here in the United States. It is a message about worship, but it is not a message about those kinds of things. No, today's message, although it is a message about worship, it's not about any of those hot topics that we usually talk about when we talk about worship. But today's message is about the worshiping community and how our corporate worship of God as a community of faith has the potential to strengthen and build us in ways that our private worship can never achieve. Amen? But before I share further on this point, the question that I want to ask you this morning is this. Why do you worship in the first place? And of course, there is no one-size-fits-all answer. Some worship because they're trying to meet someone else's expectation. Some worship purely out of habit. It's just something you've been accustomed to doing throughout your life. Where others worship because there's something with inside of them that draws them to worship. Because they've come to the realization that they did not create themselves, therefore they cannot create the explanation for themselves. There has to be a higher power, and that higher power is God, and he deserves to be worshiped. But regardless of why we as human beings worship, one thing is clear, that when we worship as a community, that there are some blessings that God gives only when we meet together with other believers. Who knows I'm telling the truth about that? When we celebrate the Holy Communion here at Sligo, yes, we take it to those who are sick and who are shut in. And that's all well and good. But if you've ever been here on a communion Sabbath, you know that there are blessings that God's people receive through corporate worship that could never be received in isolation. There is something about those who share the commonality of a belief in God and Jesus Christ, who come together and, as Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, are committed to doing life together. And this is what we must understand, dear friends, as believers. Christianity is not an isolationist religion. For throughout the New Testament, whenever the church was described, it was always used with metaphors that described a group, a company, a gathering. For instance, the body of Christ, the flock. How about this one? The household of faith. Each of these metaphors speak of worship in the context, listen, of relationship. The relationship that the worshiping community has with their God, and the relationship that the worshiping community has with one another. Even within the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, it was given to this newly freed people who needed to understand the dynamic of corporate worship. So when God said, "You shall have no other God before me," the you that he was referring to was this newly freed community that had been called out of Egypt to the mount so that they could now worship God, how? Together. When God says, "You shall not make unto me any graven image," he was trying to get them to understand that humankind was made in his image and he was not made in theirs. When God says, "Don't take my name in vain," it was a reminder to the community to help them to understand that they needed to properly represent their God before all the other nations. And when God said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," it was God's way of reminding them that they're not just to rest individually, but this is a call to corporate worship of God. In the remaining six commandments, God reminds them that the relationship that they have with one another is merely an extension of the relationship they are to have with their God. But the biggest challenge that we face as a church today when it comes to worship is not the idea if we need to worship or not, but rather the fact that our worship of God has been misdirected. Listen to me. Instead of finding ourselves in awe of the mystery that is God, we find ourselves being awestruck by the things that God has created. No longer do we come to the Word No longer do we come to his revelation to discover the mystery that is God and be awestruck. No, we spend more time in awe of the things that God has created. We worship the creation instead of the creator. The greatest challenge that our community faces today when it comes to corporate worship is the pressure from our narcissistic culture to become self-absorbed. It is the pressure to satisfy our own selfish appetites, which, by the way, can never be satisfied. This idea was brought out, and whenever it comes into the church, it only serves, dear friends, to destroy the very fabric of community. It is the mindset that lies at the very root, at the very heart of all the worship wars. And if you've ever gone through a worship war and survived, the very heart of that is, I want what I want, and I could care less about what you want or what you may need. And the only community that those kind of individuals are concerned with is the community of me, myself, and I. I haven't gone through over 50 years of ministry, but I'm about to hit 40. And I'm gonna tell you, I've gone through some worship wars in my life. And I know what they're about. I don't wanna sing that. I wanna sing this. I don't wanna worship that way. I wanna worship this way. Listen, Christianity is not an isolationist religion. If I only come to worship God corporately with my own concerns, I'm not really worshiping God corporately. I may be in a community, but there is no community in my worship. And this narcissistic culture has creeped into the church. Well, it hasn't really creeped. It has knocked the front door down. And we've come to worship, but we've done everything else but worship. It is the idea that prompted the Christian author David Matthews to say, the call to corporate worship is the single most important habit of the Christian life. Listen, the life of the Christian was never intended to be a solitary experience. Rather, God intended for us as believers to share life together in order that we might partake of the sweet fellowship that exists when the worshiping community comes together. It is what Paul talked about in the early church in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. Turn there with me. Look at what it says. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship, underlined word fellowship, I'll highlight it. We're coming back to it in a minute. In the breaking of bread and prayers, then fear, awe, respect, reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs, listen to this, were done through what? The apostles. Stay with me. Now all who believed were what? Together. And had all things, how? In common. Please don't miss this. Let's just dissect this for a moment. As a result of their reverence of God and their willingness to come together, they were able, Paul says, to experience this thing called fellowship in the Greek koinonia. Now, many of us as well-meaning Christians, we think fellowship means coming together after church for a meal. We fellowship today. Or getting together for a social. And that's needed. But that's not the fellowship Paul is talking about. But I like the way one author put it. He says, fellowship is not watching the game with family and friends. It's not sitting in the stands, but it's being on the field as a team member. It's running the plays together. is working hard for the one common goal of being victorious. It's shedding blood, it's shedding sweat, and it's shedding tears together until the buzzer goes off and you go across the line victorious. That's fellowship.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Bodybuilding. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And when we come together as one body of believers, we can experience the communion God desires for us to have with him. Charles Tapp digs into why this is important as he concludes his message, Bodybuilding.
See, many of us want a spectator religion. See, this is not a stage, and there are no performers here. We're not here to perform. The Kennedy Center is downtown. This is the house of prayer, where the community of faith comes together to worship God together, to do life together, to sweat together, to shed blood together, to shed tears together. That's fellowship. And in doing that, we can still eat too. But fellowship is bigger than that. And the early church knew it because they were going through a severe persecution, so it forced them to do life together. That's what fellowship that Paul is talking about here. It's not watching from the stands, but it's being on the field. It's getting involved. This is what the writer of the Hebrews had in mind in Hebrews chapter 10. Turn quickly with me. We know this, verses 23, 25. The writer of the Hebrews says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our faith," without doing what? Wavering. Sometimes we waver. This church was being persecuted. These Jewish believers were being persecuted, and many of them were tempted to walk away from their faith or the faith. For he who promised is what? Faithful. And let us consider, underline that word consider. Let us consider what? One another. Why? So that we can stir up what? Love and what? Good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Those who were becoming discouraged were now no longer coming to corporate worship, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, uplifting one another, and so much more as you see what? The day approaching. That word day, that D, is capitalized because it's talking about the end of time, the second coming of Christ. As the end draws near, as it is drawing near, we are going to need this fellowship, this commonality that we have as believers. Just like they were being persecuted, we're going to be persecuted in this country as never before. Some of you thought this was a joke. Now you no longer believe that, do you? Paul, writer to the Hebrews, says, consider one another. There's no room for this isolationist attitude in the body of Christ. But consider one another. I've got to be concerned about you. Why? Because there are times that you need to be encouraged. There are times you need somebody to cry with you. There are times you need to understand that you need to persevere, not because I said you can, but because I can share with you my own personal testimony of how I persevered. You can't get that by staying at home. And I pray that when we finally get it, it's not too late. Because as the old adage goes, sometimes you don't miss the water until the well runs dry. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand. It's been a hard week. Yeah, I get that. And that's the time you need to be here. Because you need to be encouraged toward good works. You need for somebody to say, girl, I know it's rough. Man, I know it's been hard, but we got to encourage one another. Corporate worship of God is an indispensable, it plays an indispensable role in the spiritual growth and development of the individual member as well as the body of Christ as a whole. When I was a young man growing up in St. Louis, Missouri, I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9. I suffered from asthma. Anybody suffer from asthma? We need to start a club. Get some t-shirts. You know, have community. Well, I don't know how bad it is for you, but when I was a young child, I suffered from asthma severely. I'm talking about being taken to the hospital, think you're going to die. That kind of condition. I remember one day lying on the couch in our family room when our family physician came. Those were the days that doctors made house calls. And I was glad to see Dr. Nash because I had a crush on Dr. Nash, you know. But I remember when she came, before she arrived, I looked to heaven and I said, God, just let me die. It's just too much. Because whenever I would have an attack, I couldn't eat for days. I would lose weight, Larry. I was this scrawny kid. Have you ever seen pictures of me as a kid? This short, little, scrawny kid. Why? Because I had asthma. But one day, I remember reading about this bodybuilder. I can't remember his name. And he talked about how, as a child, he had asthma. But somebody told him, why don't you try lifting weights and build up your body, and maybe that will help. And that's exactly what he did. And from that point on, he never had another asthma attack. So I went out and bought a set of weights. You laugh. Why are you laughing? I went out and bought a set of weights. I remember those weights, those 110-pound sets. And I'm pumping. You're just pumping those weights. Man, I was pumping. You know, looking in the mirror, flexing and, you know, doing all that stuff. And all of a sudden, my body started to change. It started to feel differently. It started to look different. And asthma went out the window. God has a prescription to build up his church. It is corporate worship. Corporate worship, listen, is a spiritual discipline for the development of the body of Christ. Why? Because not only does encouragement take place within the corporate setting, sanctification takes place. You want God to help you to be more patient? He's going to have you rub up against somebody who's going to try your patience. You see, you go off in a monastery somewhere, that's not sanctification. Sanctification is what happens in here. When we grow together, and I learn to love because I'm in contact with people who are not that loving. And God has to develop the spiritual fruit of love in me. Where do we get this idea that we're going to become holy, godly in our sleep? It comes about as a result of doing life together. And not just doing life together, but doing life together as a community of faith who places its confidence, its supreme confidence in the God of heaven. So even though we're doing life together, we're not doing life together alone. Look at this quotation by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. Amen? He needs him again and again when he becomes how? Uncertain and what? Discouraged. For by himself, He cannot help himself. There's an African word, Ubuntu. It is translated as human kindness. But its meaning is bigger than that. Its meaning transcends that. The Liberian peace activist Lema Gbagi once defined it in these words. She says, it means, I am what I am because of who you all are. Because of how you have impacted my life as a community, I am who I am. So when we come together in corporate worship, dear friends, we are becoming sanctified, encouraged, uplifted, because we've committed to corporate worship. But here's the thing. How do you think the world views us when it comes to this issue of corporate worship? If they drove by and looked in our sanctuaries, they said, what are all these empty seats about? I thought you guys really believed this. Because it doesn't look like your people really are committed to what they say they believe. Maybe the church needs to file for chapter 11. We smile, but think about that. When we come together in corporate worship, it not only glorifies God, listen to me, but it makes the church a vibrant witness to the community. The world is looking for real, genuine community. They're looking for a people who are really committed to what they say they believe in. But if we look in many of our churches, a businessman would say, you may even want to file chapter 11. God has called his church, his community, to come together and to worship together. It has nothing to do with how you feel. We've made worship too much about feelings and not about holiness and godliness and sanctification. So we may want to begin to examine or re-examine our personal attitudes toward corporate worship. Are my attitudes toward corporate worship really in alignment with what I say I believe? And do I really believe that God has a special grace and a special blessing that I can only receive corporately that I cannot receive in isolation? And yes, I know there are times we all will miss church. I get that. We'll all be sick. I'm talking about an attitude that we come not for ourselves, but to consider one another. Whoo! Listen, what if before we walked into church, we paused and said to ourselves, today, my focus will be my brother and my sister and not me. Well, it's not about, oh man, that was a great song. Oh, you hear that message? Oh man. It would be about, I was able to encourage. I was able to uplift. I was able to provide comfort. Man, we worship today. I want fellowship so that we can build the body. Only body that exists now, that will exist in eternity, is the body of Christ.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Bodybuilding. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
People are not finding nurture in the house of God. They are going to other places where they can find it.
One of the most important ingredients in the life of the church is the nurturing of one another. Next week, Charles Tapp shares how this helps a community of believers thrive with his message, The Nutrition of Nurture. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.